I can't say I like the idea of you taking this risk, Kendall.
Waiting alone in your cabin for the killer to show his hand. But if it means not being held up in Papeete, then I'm with you. Give me half an hour to spread the word.
Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
Keep it to yourself, Major. But Kendall's going to make an arrest. He knows who killed Ben Miller.
That's all I could get out of him.
But he's in his cabin making out his report for Colonel Hacking of Interpol.
Yes, Interpol, Major.
Dirk Kendall was planted aboard this ship to find a murderer. And it looks as though he's done just that.
Captain Goddard was as good as his word. He picked his men carefully, swearing them to secrecy and knowing darn well that as soon as he turned his back, the story would be all over the ship. First, Major Challoner was informed. Then, Edwin Tuker. And as night fell on our 10th day at sea, bound for Papeete, the Tangmar was a hotbed of speculation and theory. I sat in my cabin watching the minutes tick by and waiting for my bluff to come off. Waiting for the killer, who'd outwitted all of us, to make a desperate last-minute attempt to keep his identity a secret. I found myself watching the cabin door and trying to work out whether it would be a passenger or a member of the crew who'd take the bait. The Tangmar cruised on through the shadowing sea, and night drew a curtain across the porthole of my cabin. As I waited, and went on waiting.
I always knew, Major Challoner, that there was more to Mr. Kendall than met the eye. I can only say how glad I am that my conscience is clear.
You must have a very convenient conscience, Tuker.
What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, if you can't work it out for yourself, my telling you won't help.
Major Challoner, if you happen to be referring to that unfortunate incident in my past...
Unfortunate incident? You have no idea how funny that phrase would be under other circumstances, Tuker. Unfortunate incident, you call it. Giving poison to one's wife does seem to me to need a slightly stronger description, don't you think?
If you only knew the facts of the case...
I know the only one that matters. Now, if you don't mind, Tuker, I'd like to continue reading this book.
How can you sit reading in a lounge at a time like this? Do you realize that someone is going to be arrested, Major? Perhaps even you.
I can assure you that I am not. Now, please...
And it certainly won't be me. So who will it be? Doesn't it give you an odd feeling, Major, to know that at this very moment the murderer knows that the game is up?
If you wish to talk about it, please do so elsewhere. Along with the rest of them, you laughed at my scheme to apprehend the murderer. And I have no further interest in the matter. Now take your theories and your idiotic conversation out of my sight.
Major, really?
No. Better still, you have the lounge. Perhaps I can find some privacy in my cabin. I should almost look forward to being arrested, Tuker. It would at least save me the trouble of making polite conversation with fools.
Well, really, I...
You, Tuker. From the look on the Major's face as he slammed out of here, I thought maybe he'd been having another set too with his daughter. What did you say to annoy the old buzzard, huh?
I was only trying to be polite. I was trying to talk with him about the arrest Mr. Kendall is going to make.
Oh, that.
Oh, so you aren't interested either.
Oh, yeah, sure I am, but speculating doesn't help. Seems Dirk is the only one who can settle it.
But it is rather... Well, after all, it rather makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Tuker, along with Dirk and everyone else aboard, I've been wondering ever since it happened. Now I'm looking forward to having it settled. You know, with all this talk of murder, I never seem to lose my appetite. Coming, Tuker?
No, I'm not really very hungry. Now, I think perhaps I'll miss dinner tonight.
All right, just as you like. I find the sound of that dinner gong acts on me like an aperitif.
How pleasant, Sharon, to think that after tonight we will be able to enjoy ourselves. That there will be no unpleasantness anymore.
If Kendall's going to make an arrest, why the devil doesn't he get on with it?
Perhaps he wishes the condemned man to enjoy a hearty breakfast. Or in this case, dinner, Major?
I wonder where it'll be. In here, do you think?
Where doesn't matter. Who is rather more important?
I thought you said when you first came in to dinner that you would not stay if anyone talked of this, Major.
I meant it, too. I'm beginning to find that on this ship one's wishes are always defied. Even by one's own family, aren't they, Sharon?
If you keep on using pepper at that rate, Father, you'll ruin your dinner.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm not deaf.
I think until after dinner you could for once try to be pleasant, Major Challoner. Of course. If this is a way of trying to hide your fear...
Yes, Fedorov. I have never been afraid of anything in my life. I don't intend to start now. I knew it was a mistake to come in here tonight. You're coming, Sharon?
I'm enjoying my dinner, Father.
And enjoying making me look a fool, is that it?
Father, please.
That infernal American put you up to this, didn't he? Did he define me? Is that what you discussed with him on deck this afternoon? Is that how you think you'll get rid of me? Is it?
Something wrong, Major?
Yes, Blake, there is a great deal. I will not have you pestering my daughter, do you understand?
You know, the only man I ever read about who reminded me of you was that fellow in the barracks of Wimpole Street. Except that he had the good manners to keep it in the family.
Why,
I shall continue to see your daughter at every opportunity.
Well done, Lee.
You intend to stand there like that all through dinner, Major Challoner? All right, if I sit here, Sharon?
Of course.
I told you earlier to watch yourself, Blake, and I meant it. I've distrusted you ever since you came aboard the ship. I know what you are, Blake. And no good fortune in gigolo. But it won't do you any good. No good at all. You'll never get a penny of my money, do you understand? Not a penny. Since Sharon prefers your company to mine, ask her to explain why.
With your father aboard, Miss Challoner, we never lack variety, do we?
Yeah, just as well we don't have a ship's orchestra. We'd never have managed to accompany that successfully.
Will you excuse me, please? I'm sorry for that.
Oh, Sharon, Sharon, don't cry. That's what he wants.
Why does he have to spoil everything?
What did he mean by that last remark about his money?
He thinks I want it. He doesn't realize that I wouldn't soil my hands with it. I'll go to my cabin.
No, wait, Sharon. I'll come along with you.
There's no need, Lee.
Will you excuse us, Alona?
Of course. And Lee, you do work very fast.
Who is it?
The skipper. May I come in?
Oh, yes.
Oh, how are you enjoying being solitary?
I'm not.
Well, they all know. If the man we're looking for is going to make any kind of move, it won't be long.
Well, then you'd better clear out of here, skipper. There's no need for both of us to wait.
I don't like it, Kendall. Dash it, old man. This is my ship, and I don't feel like shirking any part of this. Between us, we can handle anything that comes up.
No, Skipper. The whole point of this scheme is to let the person we want think that I'm in here alone.
But
it's my guess that this cabin is being watched pretty closely. The killer knows there are two of us. He won't risk it.
Yeah, all right, Dirk.
Did you learn anything at all as you spread the news?
Not much. Not anything, really. Oh, Jones, that fellow who was my steward. He said something about... What's so important about telling us he's a copper? I knew that all the time.
Open the door and then turn back and say you're turning in, Skipper. Nice and loud.
Well, if you're sure. I'm taking the dog watch, Kendall, so I'll grab a couple of hours' sleep.
I mentioned the arrest.
Oh, when you make the arrest, bring him to my cabin, Kendall. I'll see you later.
Nine-thirty. He's got to make a move soon. By now he should be worried sick, expecting to be picked up at any moment. I'll have another look at that will. Another thing in it that helps, but... I'm beginning to wonder whether you really did like these people, Wedderman, or whether you knew that this would happen and now you're laughing your head off. I, Victor Wenneman, being of sound mind and body, do hereby direct my solicitors, Brancher, Brancher, and Smith, that upon my death, the following six persons, Mr. Lerner Fedorov, Major Basil Challoner, Mr. Peter Slavin, Mr. Ben Miller, Mr. Edwin Tucker, and Dr. Martin Lawler, are to each receive a sixth share of my fortune. It shall be the duty of my solicitors to find these people and to inform them, providing they take ship from the port of Sydney in Australia en route here to Jamaica. Then and only then will they benefit. I wish that they will find in each other's company the same pleasure that their various personalities have given me. Also, and most importantly, I... Who is it?
Challenham.
Challenham. All right, come in.
When are you going to make this arrest, Kendall?
Any minute now, Major. Why?
It's Lee Blake, isn't it?
What?
I'd like to be with you when you take him.
You would?
I've been digging back, Kendall. I'm sure it was Blake. I saw attacking you on deck with a knife. Our third night out at sea, Kendall, do you remember?
Well, yes, of course, but...
He's a murderer. He's the man you've been looking for. Let's make the arrest together.
As I stood talking to the bitter old Major, the engines throbbed through the night, bringing us all closer to another rendezvous with death in this passage of the Tangmar.